But Maharaj Parikshit is more than that. Because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth. And as such, he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus, and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he had the chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna in his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees of the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families fortunately generally imitate such worship of the deities, even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we have the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family. And in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions, such as the Rath Yatra and Dol Yatra ceremonies. And he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhakti Vinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same, because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sridhara Swami, Maharaj Parikshit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami. So accepting either of them, Maharaj Parikshit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above-mentioned activities, and all of them establish his great devotion from his very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavata. Such Mahabhagavatas are called Nitya Siddhas, of souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association. And they are called sadhana siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue. And so the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with devotees. The concrete example is our great spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maidservant. But through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So in this verse, the childhood play of Maharaj Parikshit is described. That even while playing with dolls, he would imitate the family's worship of the deity. And his home was full of Krishna consciousness, talks about Krishna. And therefore he heard about Krishna from the very beginning of his life, including the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And he may have imitated the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, or he may simply have worshipped, imitated the worship of the family deity. But either way, he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And that is the great fortune of taking birth in a family of devotees. And we find in the case of many of our predecessor acharyas that they took birth in the family of devotees and had a natural inclination to Krishna consciousness. To the extent that at a young age they had very little interest in material activities, but were very eager to study Srimad Bhagavatam. One such example is Srila Jiva Goswami. From a very young age, he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, his father was the younger brother of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, very exalted devotees and confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada's own father, Gaur Mohan Dev, was also very absorbed in devotional service. In fact, Srila Prabhupada commented that although he would go to the shop to conduct his business, but his real interest was in bhajan, in worship. And he would see his father engage in the worship, and his father would also encourage him and his friends in celebrating Rath Yatra and other festivals and distributing prasad. So it is a great fortune for a child to be born in a Vaishnava family, and the parents and the other elders have a great responsibility to set the proper example and encourage them in Krishna consciousness. Now, apart from those born in Vaishnava families, even those who are not born in Vaishnava families can also take to Krishna consciousness if they are blessed with the association of devotees. And the great example in our line is Sri Narada Muni, who was born the son of a maidservant, but by chance or good fortune, during the rainy season, the Chaturmasya, she was engaged in the service of great devotees, Bhakti Vedantas. And Narada, as a small child of 6 years, was with her to assist in his own way. And he became an object of affection for those devotees. And he would do service to them, and they would give him the remnants of their prasad and bless him with their good wishes and encouragement. And so even though he came from a lowly family from the material point of view, he rose to the unique standard of Narada Muni. So, the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam says, Guru Nasasyat, Pitran Nasasyat. No one should become a guru, no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, no one should become a worshipful bull. Superior relative, unless he can or she can deliver his or her dependent from the repetition of birth and death. This is the responsibility of the parents, the teachers, the government, to see that these souls who have taken birth never have to take birth again. And Srila Prabhupada explains that that responsibility can be discharged only if the parents become pure devotees. Only then can they liberate themselves from the repetition of birth and death, and also liberate their dependents. So it's a great responsibility, and Kali Yuga is filled with many distractions. Of course, Maya is always there in every age to distract us. But especially in Kali Yuga, the modes of nature are the lower modes are more prominent, and they work against the development of Krishna consciousness. The mode of goodness, like the mode of illumination, the mode of goodness, one can see things as they are. But in the mode of passion, one is fixed on the objects of one's desire and that distorts one's vision of everything in it, including Krishna consciousness. And in the mode of ignorance, one is so covered by the darkness that one can hardly understand spiritual life at all. And because the society is so materialistic and so covered by the lower modes of nature, it's even more important that we stick to the association of sincere devotees, pure devotees, and are very strict in our spiritual practices. Sometimes we might think that we can make an exception. This is the monographic. We can make an exception for the sake of some immediate material gain, and then go back to our spiritual practices. Hare Krishna Balaram.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. And who will get a garland straight from Los Angeles? And who will your life?
I hope you all know Balaram Das. He was Srila Kamal Krishna Goswami's personal servant for many years and had many.
This is from Mukunda, and this is from his wife.
He came for a glass of Puja Mara.
How long will you be here?
Just one day.
Just one day?
Tomorrow. And it's Sunday at night, Sunday morning.
Really? Okay.
I came here for the prasad.
We're going to be watching you, Balaram. He is supposed to be on a very strict diet for medical purposes. But I don't know if it's been approved by his doctors, but he has made his own policy that on special occasions, he doesn't have to follow. And he is so eager to go off of his diet that he flew all the way to Houston because there was no festival in L.A. All right, well, I think we were just talking about the occasion for today's gathering is Damodar's 8th birthday. Damodar, can you stand up, sir? So we were reading about how children born in Vaishnava families have they have the facility to become devotees, and they also have the choice to be little rascals. concerns or not. All right, so are there any questions or comments?
Talking about kids. We just had a class where the babies of these babies will be lighting up the fire sacrifice by mantras.
Wow. That's good. Yes.
Maharaj, you said that like most of the sannyasis of Hare Krishna movement were born in a non-devotee family. But they were like, they become really, really like, you know, everybody so liberated. So like, it's true that many of the devotees, great devotees have been born in the family of devotee, but if you look now, like in our current, like most of the sannyasis are actually, the parents were not devotees, but they always have a natural inclination for the spiritual path. So, my question is, I think it's a big exception. Like, it's a lot of number that they were born in non-devotee family. So. So my question is, it's true that it's some devotees, like big, great devotees are born in devotee family, but it could be other way around also.
Yeah. When I was based in Juhu, I arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada at the home of R.D. Birla, and at the time the Birlas were considered the richest family in India. And his daughter, Gopi Kumari Birla, was very pious and very inclined to Krishna consciousness. She came many times to meet Srila Prabhupada in Juhu. And her son, of course, she may have misjudged him, but her son was very westernized. And Tamal Krishna Goswami and I were cultivating him to give a donation. And once we went to the Birla house, and he met us, he was wearing a silk, you know, a short sleeve shirt completely covered with American flags. So he was different, you know. And so after Srila Prabhupada gave his talk, there was a dinner served, you know, beautiful banquet table. And Mrs. Birla was saying to Srila Prabhupada about how Prahlad was born in a family of demons, but he became a great devotee. But sometimes it also happens that someone is born in a family of great devotees and becomes a demon. So both are possible, and but although she may have been referring to her son Ashok, he actually he gave a very big donation for the Vrindavan temple, the biggest donation that anyone in India gave. And I was friends with many of the Birlas, direct Birlas and in-laws, married Birlas. And one of them told me that the whole Birla family was talking about Ashok. But how could he give such a big donation to ISKCON, which none of them could give? But yeah, it's true. The birth really, it can offer facility, but it's no guarantee of anything. And what you said is true. If you read the stories of the lives of many of Prabhupada's holy disciples, there's a symmetry there of how they were searching for spiritual life, and then ultimately came to Srila Prabhupada. So, and Srila Prabhupada said that, the ordinary explanation would be, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who has engaged in devotional service but not completed the course fully will take birth and continue from where he left off in the last life. Srila Prabhupada said, or I heard that Srila Prabhupada said that, Lord Chaitanya placed these devotees in different families in different parts of the world so that they could spread Lord Chaitanya's movement in different countries. So everywhere, in Africa, in China, in Russia, in all sorts of places, you find people who are natural devotees. And then they take up the mission in those countries and spread Krishna consciousness in those countries. Prabhupada said, just on that point, that, but this was many years ago, but he said that the Americans are very far from Krishna consciousness, but they're coming closer. And the Indians are very close to Krishna consciousness, but they're going away. So the idea is, you can end up anywhere, it really depends on you and the choices you make. And one of the main choices you make is the association that you keep. But now it's like so many Indians in America come in touch with Krishna consciousness, and then when they go back to India, their relatives complain that they became Krishna consciousness. You went to America, you thought when you came back you'd be more expert at eating this and drinking that, and now you don't even touch it. What happened to you? What went wrong? You're no fun anymore. Yes, sir, Gopal.
Well, you said, in the age of Kali, currently the lower modes are very powerful.
Mm.
So, could you give some message to kids and us about elaborating a little bit more on that?
What I said, I could repeat, that because the atmosphere outside the association of devotees is so materialistic, it's important to stay in the association of devotees. And even if you have to go to school and different places where you associate with regular people, but your main association should be devotees. yesterday, Prabhupada Haridas was telling me about a boy in China. Well, his parents are devotees, and he himself is extraordinary. I think he's 8 years. Yeah. No, I think he's in fourth or fifth grade. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
About your age. And he is like so dynamic and so Krishna conscious. He just tells the Haridasa, tell the detail. And he, there's like, they live in a huge building in modern China, there's huge buildings. And his friend, he made it good friends with just a regular person that was his boy in the building. And that boy is so attached to the devotee whose name is Vamsi. So he said to Vamsi that I love Vamsi first. And of all the people in the world, I love Vamsi first. And I love my mother second. His name was Kim. And Vamsi said, of all the people in the world, I love my mother first, and I love Kim second. So yes, if a child is very strong, he can bring others. But it's good that they, you know, that all of us, children and adults, that we keep our association spiritual. I mean, being a devotee is not such a cheap thing, like, you know, every tilak, every piece, I'm initiated, I'm a devotee. But we should use our time in Krishna consciousness. And being a devotee means something more than just being a part of an organization or having the designation in one's mind that one is a devotee. Yes.
You read this about the Parikshit Maharaj. And my question is that this Parikshit Maharaj in his form of life. I have so many books, Pranodas Devika, that I have not found.
That's a very interesting question he's asking. Was Maharaj Parikshit in his previous life? Because there are many. But he says Deepika's. Radhakrishna Congregation Deepika, Gaura Congregation Deepika. But he hasn't found a mention of who Maharaj Parikshit was in his previous life. Well, and I'm not saying this as a joke. But he might have been Maharaj Parikshit in his previous life. In other words, that might be his. It's like Arjuna. He's always Arjuna. The Pandavas are always the Pandavas. They're eternal sources in those roles. So, and we find that there are different versions of Maharaj Parikshit being cursed. And how he responded. And the acharyas say that those different versions are there because in different yuga cycles, Maharaj Parikshit dealt differently with the curse. So that suggests that every time that Krishna appears with the Pandavas, and there's the pastimes of the Mahabharata war. So there's also Maharaj Parikshit being cursed. Now, in some cases, like Indra, or even Brahma, it's a pulse. A different person can occupy the post of Brahma or Indra or whoever. Like President of the United States, it's a post. But Maharaj Parikshit, I mean, I have not read this also, but the evidence suggests that he's a person. It's not a post that someone becomes Maharaj Parikshit, but he's a person. And he has, this is his role in Krishna Vipa. But you might have some more to add to this. You often ask questions just to bring out discussion, but you can probably add to the discussion.
Then there's Ashwastana, with his weapon. And you put out his womb.
Mm-hmm.
And Krishna wants to save Parikshit Maharaj. He entered in the womb of Uttara. At that time, he is seeing the flesh. Maybe in his previous life, while he is attending this Krishna, maybe he left the body. Because his motive was being not motive was not satisfied. So he saw in Uttara's womb Krishna. And after that, in his whole life, he tried to see Krishna, see Krishna.
But I didn't quite catch how what happened in his previous life, why he took birth in this situation. Did you say that? Or? I mean, I follow that when he was in the womb, and Asvatthama and Ramastra, Krishna came into the womb and saved him. And Maharaj Parikshit got a glimpse of him. And then afterwards he was always searching for that person who saved him. What were you relating that to his previous life? Or you just...
So maybe in his previous life, he was failed to see or satisfy himself in Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah. It's possible.
It's like now we only could see only once and then he was hampering to similarly.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, 1, 2.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, sir. Srila Prabhupada used to say, regularly saying, Natir Nati Swargavas. So one who has seen the grandson of his grandson, he is attained heaven, something like that. And also we find that in Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the case of Ajamil, Bojayan Payan Mudha Na Agatam Antakam. So the same he is exhibiting the same emotion of playing with his child, but the Bhagavatam chastises him by saying that he is just a stupid old fool because he doesn't see the advent of death. So my question is, of course, as parents we have to take care of our children and bring them up in a Krishna conscious way. But we also find that the role is continues on when we have grandchildren, and this goes on, you know, the cycle of bringing up grandchildren. And so my question is, so when is a good time to disengage? First of all, do we need to disengage from family responsibilities, or if yes, then when is a good time to disengage from family responsibilities, especially for those of us that are not sannyas grade, you know, so that they are not leading towards sannyas. So when is a good time to disengage?
When you're at that stage. You know, you'll feel it, because sooner or later you're going to leave your body. Everyone will. And we think, you know, how will things go on without me? But when you get your body, things go on. And that's sort of the idea of sannyas. It's like civil death. And it's a matter of having. On the one hand, it's a matter of having faith in Krishna. And on the other hand, it's a matter of, you know, being sufficiently detached to take that step. But it's a good example. I mean, I don't know how common it is now, but when I was meeting people in India, you know, in the 1970s, I met some people that said, oh, my grandfather took sannyas. They're like, very proud. So, well, my grandfather went to Vrindavan. That can also be a source of inspiration. The Chuchu train is also a source of inspiration. going on to another stage in devotional service can be inspiration. Yes, Shankar Shankar.
Maharaj, I was listening to one of your class video sometime in 1992-93 in Vrindavan. It was on matter of devotion. And in that class, you mentioned that, Prabhupada mentioned that there are four classes of people: easy intelligent, lazy intelligent, easy fool, and lazy fool. And you mentioned that Prabhupada falls in the category of lazy intelligent. But you did not elaborate on that point in that class. Definitely Prabhupada was intelligent, no doubt. But I'm having difficulty understanding why does it fall under the class of living.
Well, he uses the word lazy, but it's not really laziness in his case. But you should give the background. A lazy intelligent doesn't do much himself. If necessary, he will go out to preach. But he doesn't do much himself, but he inspires others to do it. So that's like lazy intelligence. Prabhupada inspired his disciples to go all over the world and do so much. That's lazy intelligence. Active intelligence, he does a lot himself, but he does it in an intelligent way. So lazy intelligence is the best. Active intelligence is the next best. He can do as much as he can do, but lazy intelligence, he can do more because he inspires others. Then there's lazy, foolish. He has many bad ideas, but because he's lazy, he doesn't do anything about them. So that's like, that's third best. An active foolish is someone who has bad ideas, but he acts on them. He's the most dangerous. All right, I think that's what, any last question?
Maharaj, you mentioned about arguing being sadhana, said a very big one for the Prabhupada mentioned cities. What was the sadhana did you say?
Yeah, that's true. Can be like that. All right. So, what's next?
Do I just turn the gate and my only duty to the
Lord? Yeah.
Can we
raise the birthday boy? I think that he's showing us the way. All right, well, to speak out loud. But be careful, because Krishna will hear. Okay?
Think in your heart.
You made it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't
tell
anyone.
Have
blowing? No.
Well, she's very emphatic, no blowing. And I don't want to come in between this particular. It seems he wants to blow.
Okay.
Not gonna
blow.
Not gonna blow. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru, Hare Krishna.
Make a small cut.
Make a small cut.